Thank you for listening to the Rochester Christian Church podcast. For more information, visit us online at rcc4me.com.
I'm reading through the New Testament this year. I've invited you to do that with me. I hope that you're doing that. You can find out where we are either off of the website, or I'm still a little old school, so I'm demanding some old school stuff. So you can even pick up a reading program out in the foyer there on the table. But I'm reading through the New Testament in the Passion Bible this year. I like to read through in different versions. And the Passion Bible is just, I'm telling you, it is just igniting me big time. In fact, I'm going to preach out of the Passion this morning. But before we do, I just want to challenge you in preparing your hearts. Jesus in Luke chapter 8, the problem with the Passion version is it's so small, I can't even see the, I think it's verse 18 and I have my glasses on. So pay careful attention, this is Jesus' words, so pay careful attention to your hearts as you listen to my teaching. For to those who have open hearts, even more revelation will be given to them until it overflows. And for those who do not listen with open hearts, what little light they imagine themselves to have will be taken away. And then his family came to see him, and the crowd said, your parents are out there and your family's there. And he said, let me tell you who my family is. They're the ones who long to hear God's word and put them into practice. So, Father, would you give us ears to hear? Father, let our hearts yearn to hear the voice of God today. Father, let your word burn in us, transforming our hearts and our minds, making us more like Jesus. I ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, so this year, we're kind of leaning into Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, as our key verse for the year, just believing that this is the year of the Spirit. And so if you would you just quote it out loud with me again today? Galatians 5, 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And I'm going to say this over and over again because I want you to get this. I really believe the Lord gave me the word connect. And it's time to connect. And this week, as I was meditating even on that phrase, it's time to connect, and it takes time to connect. You catch that? It takes time. I am on a journey that I'm really, really loving, and I'm going to continue to invite you to it, and that is a journey to slow down and to unplug and to get really connected to the things that are important in life. We've got to connect, first of all, in prayer with the Holy Spirit, and it's going to require us to slow down, to shut off all the other voices, and to slow down and just listen to the Spirit of the Lord. It's amazing. So that even like this week, I had an appointment at a local restaurant, and the person I was meeting with was 45 minutes late. And I made myself keep my phone off, and I made myself just be present for 45 minutes. And here's the cool thing. I never got agitated one time. Now, if you knew me, that is not who I am. I'm like, if you're not on time, dude, you are disrespecting and dishonoring me. That's the reason why I'm always 10 minutes early even where I go, because I want to respect people. And so for me to sit in a booth with my phone off for 45 minutes and not get agitated. Okay, I have to rephrase that because I want to be honest. I started to get agitated. And I stopped myself. And I said, no, no, I'm going to use this time to be present and to meditate upon you and to just be self-aware. And I had an amazing conversation with the waiter because I was the only customer in the restaurant. And was able to have a really God-directed conversation. We talked about, but you've got to take time. We got to be in person in church. We got to be in person. Didn't you love the breakfast last week? Wasn't that cool to be able to have breakfast and just kind of be in communion with one another? Which is one reason why we're just trying to create more and more opportunities for us to have opportunities to engage with one another. And I'm so thankful for modern technology. I'm so grateful for all of you who are able to join us by live stream, because many of you, physically, you can't be here. But can I tell you, if you're not here just simply because you're being lazy, can I tell you, you're robbing us. You're robbing us because you have gifts and callings that we need actively to be released in our lives. And you can't do that at home. You got to do that in person. And I want us to learn as a church family that when we come in here, we're not coming in to receive as much as we are. We're coming to give. We're coming together looking for opportunities to bless people and for the Holy Spirit to use us during worship and during the service to be able to minister to people. You could have a word. You could have a gift of faith that someone else needs for a miracle. God could use you in a powerful way. And just with your words of kindness and encouragement, you can't do that if you're not coming together as the body of Christ. And you know what? That just takes time. And then to be have compassion with the world. Again, Jesus was not friendly to sinners. He was actually their friend. And I am trying my best to make a change in the way that I even correspond with people, like my waiter the other day. I was trying to look at him as my friend. I was wanting to be his friend. I wasn't wanting just to be friendly. It takes time to do that. That's the reason why, yeah, I know that it takes effort to be at life group or whatever the case might be, but we have to take the time to invest, because I believe that we are in a divine moment. I believe that we are on the very beginning of a great outpouring. And I just want to continue to stand in agreement with the confession and the declaration that Shane shared with us a few months ago. He said, after every global plague or pandemic, it was always followed by 2 years of spiritual awakening. I believe we're experiencing that. So having said that, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to go fast this morning. I have like 4 pages of notes, but I don't have to finish my notes. I just want you to get what Holy Spirit, I believe, is calling us to, okay? In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, let me emphasize this. Now watch this. Let me emphasize this. As you yield to the dynamic life and power of Holy Spirit, you will abandon the craving of your self-life. Now, I'm going to define self-life for example, in King James, it says the flesh. But let me define for you what I'm going to use self-life as in this message, in what I believe it's better term, and that is unhealthy soul. Because when we say flesh, we think of the body, okay? No, it's the unhealthy soul. It's the soul that has not been regenerated. See, we need the soul is not bad. The soul is not bad. Matter of fact, last year, remember, the entire year, we focused on 3 John 2. I pray that you would be in good health and prosper in all things, even as your soul prospers. It's a healthy soul, okay? But But here's our problem. We are always focusing on the wrong end of the equation. We are trying to abandon the cravings of the flesh. We are trying to just strive and work harder not to do the things we don't want to do. And we're missing the point. The point is not striving harder. The point is yielding to Holy Spirit. So let me put it this way. We have a yielding issue, not an abandoning issue. As we yield, so even as I described to you, and I had a couple of opportunities this week. Tuesday, I was not feeling well. Okay, I even went home early. I didn't even hardly stay here because I was not feeling well, and I slept half the day. And I had a close friend inappropriately engage with me that day, and I had a perfect opportunity to let the flesh rise up, and I was able. I'm just giving you victory. I'm excited. Be excited for me. I'm excited. Jesus is actually working in my life. I was able not to give into the flesh, and able to release in the spirit what needed to be released at that moment to bring healing to a relationship that could have gone awry when I wasn't feeling good, right? But listen, we don't have an abandoning issue. It's not you got to strive harder to abandon that sin that so easily besets you. No, what you have is a yielding issue. It's yielding to the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to do a work in you that you cannot do yourself. I like to put it this way. We don't have a sin problem. We have a love problem. Because when I love somebody, I'm not going to sin against them. See, if we're all the time trying to not sin, not sin. No, 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 no. Stop focusing on the negative and focus on the answer. This is what John was saying when he said, he has to increase and I have to decrease. Notice the order. As he increases, I will naturally decrease. It's not a self-abuse or beating yourself down. I'm scum, I'm no good, blah, 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 blah. No, 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 no. You magnify the Lord, and what happens is the flesh gets crucified by the Spirit. I used to say it this way to young people. You don't have a sin problem, you have a vision problem. That's the way I used to say it, and I still believe that's true. And I don't have time to unpack the whole thing, but I'll give you an illustration I like to use. Take sixth grade Johnny. He's, 13 years old, Johnny. And poor mama, every morning before he goes to school, she goes through the same routine. Johnny, please, please comb your hair, brush your teeth, tuck in your shirt, son, you're a slob, you're embarrassing me, please. Every morning, it's the same thing. Johnny, 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 would you please comb your hair, brush your teeth, tuck in your shirt, tie your shoes. Come on, son. But then somewhere, all of a sudden, Johnny started combing his hair, brushing his teeth, and tucking in his shirt. And mama goes, woo, finally, I got through to him. No, mama, you didn't get through to him. Johnny caught a vision. The vision's name was Sally. Church, religion will tell you strive harder, work harder at being good. You got to do more. You got to crucify yourself more. No, 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 no. We got the cart before the horse. We got to catch a glimpse of who he is. We got to yield to who he is. And listen, when you see him, you can't help but love him because he's adorable. And then you don't want to do those things that the flesh wants to do. I remember 3 years and 3 years, three weeks in my Christology class at Southeastern Bible College. Christology is the study of Christ, and the professor had his debate for 3 weeks on whether or not Jesus could sin. Could he sin or not? And we're, of course, we're a bunch of Bible college students. We know everything, so we were just theologically just ripping everything to pieces. And finally he said, okay, let me give you my perspective. And I think he actually had the right perspective. And that was, yes, Jesus could sin, because if he couldn't sin, he couldn't be tempted. And yet he was tempted in every way like you and I. But he did not sin. Here's the reason why. It wasn't so that he could be the perfect sacrifice for you and me. It was because he loved his Father so much, he would never hurt him. You understand that? See, it's a love issue. So that whenever I find myself and I can feel this unhealthy soul beginning to wanting to rise up, I know, okay, stop right there. And I begin to direct my eyes back upon Jesus and his goodness and his kindness and his love toward me. And all of a sudden it curbs that appetite that I want to give myself into. See, he goes on to say in that same verse, that chapter, he says, when your self-life, when your unhealthy soul craves things that offend the Holy Spirit, you hinder him from living free within you. And the Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your unhealthy soul from dominating you. Look, read the Bible slow, church. Read it slow. When you yield to the unhealthy soul, the flesh, the your mind, your will, and your emotion that still needs to be renewed, when you yield to those cravings, what it does is it offends Holy Spirit, and it hinders Holy Spirit from being able to live freely within you. Notice Holy Spirit. Notice the difference. Holy Spirit wants to live freely in you, but what's the flesh want to do? It wants to dominate you. Can I tell you, Holy Spirit will never dominate you. He will nudge you. That quiet nudge, that quiet voice. Right? He's not going to dominate you like the flesh does. The flesh doesn't nudge you. The flesh just, right? So your unhealthy soul wants to dominate you. But Holy Spirit wants to live freely within you. He wants to live in you, bringing you abundant life, peace, love, joy. This verse of scripture, I don't know that we're going to get here today, but this is where I was wanting to go. The fruit of the Spirit begins to grow inside of you. And he flows freely in your life and freely through your life. See, church, 12 years ago, I did a whole series, about 9 or 10-part series on living in the Spirit. And in that series, if you were here, you remember me talking about the fact that we are triune beings. We're made in the image of God. Right? And what are those three parts? Say it with me. Okay. So there's the most of the time people will say the body, soul, and the spirit, right? And can I tell you the reason we normally say it that way is because that's man's order. We are always consumed about our body, how we look. So I go to Lifetime almost every day, and it is a trip to watch these young bucks, you know, in the locker room, you know, in the changing room, you know, they're all, yeah. At my age, you're not trying to build muscle, you're just trying to get rid of fat, okay? That's it. But we're so consumed with how we look. We'll spend an hour in front of the mirror in the morning making sure our makeup's right or whatever the case may be. We're so concerned with the body. The body tends to be king. And then the soul is the servant. And before we come to know Christ, it's an unhealthy soul. And before we come to know Christ, our spirit is actually dead. But this is the order in which we emphasize things. We're concerned about how we look and then how we feel. We want a healthy soul, blah, 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 blah. But can I tell you, in the kingdom of God, God's order is always spirit is king. The soul is servant, and when the soul is in the proper position, it becomes healthy. You go to a family whose children are out of control, or should I say in control, that is not a healthy child. It's not a healthy child. It's kind of like the soul. When the soul is in control, I guarantee you're not a healthy person. But a child that learns to submit to their parents with a great attitude is a healthy child and will become a healthy adult one day. Right? And then the body is slave. That's the reason why Paul says, I beat my body daily. You know, I bring it into subjection, blah, 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 blah. See, but this is the order in which you and I need to live in our life. We need to be spirit-led, not emotionally led. Having said that, your emotions are very important, and you need to listen to them. You don't need to deny your emotions. You don't need to suppress your emotions. You need to recognize that there's something going on and allow Holy Spirit to give you wisdom on how to deal with that. Because sometimes you just need to repent and pray and fast. Other times you just need to have a girl night out with the girls. I'm talking to the ladies, by the way. Sometimes you just need to go sit in the top of a tree with a bow in your hand for a couple of days. You know? But sometimes you just need to play. So you need to listen to the soul, but you don't obey the soul. You take it to the Spirit and allow the Spirit to teach you. So in Scripture, anytime you see it listed, such as in 1 Thessalonians, may your whole spirit, soul, and body, notice the order, spirit, then soul, then body, be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice the order, and I also want you to notice that all three of them are in a positive light. It's not like your spirit is good and your soul and your body is bad. That is not true. A healthy person is one that is healthy in spirit, in soul, and in body. And he said that all three of them would be kept blameless. So a healthy soul actually wants to magnify the Lord. Mary was a healthy soul. And she said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Right? There were times when David had to speak to his soul. In a moment when it was wanting to become king and rule and reign how he was going to behave. And he had to speak to his soul and say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. He had to speak to it. But a healthy person wants to be in the presence of God. We were created for his presence. And it's something that we enjoy here, not just on the other side of the grave. And a healthy soul is one that wants to be in the presence of the Lord at all times. Can somebody say amen? But can I remind you, the problem is that back in the garden, God told Adam, he said, listen, if you can eat of any tree you want to, but if you eat of the tree of good and evil, of blessing and calamity, then in that day you will surely die. Now I want to ask you, did he physically die that day? No. Let me tell you who died that day. His spirit man. His spirit man died that day. And so before we come to know Christ, and if you're here today and you're seeking an understanding of who Jesus is, we welcome you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We're so here. Pray, Holy Spirit, just really minister to you. But can I tell you, before I had the light bulb go off in my spirit that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and I could ask for forgiveness and he would give me new life, before that, we were spiritually dead before we came to know Christ. And if you're spiritually dead, how do you make your decisions? You make your decisions through your soul. So we were governed by an unhealthy soul before we entered into this new realm of the Spirit. This is the reason why Paul teaches that we not only need to accept Christ, but then we have to renew our mind. Our soul then has to be trained. It's like a child. It has to be trained by the Spirit. It's got to be brought in line with the Spirit so that we think like the Spirit thinks. We operate like the Spirit operates. See, and I can show you numerous scriptures. I'm not going to do that, but take, for example, where Paul says to the church at Colossae, he says, when you were dead, so much spiritually dead, when you were spiritually dead in sin and in the circumcision and of your sinful nature, comma, that's when God came to you and he made you alive in Christ and he forgave your sins. All of a sudden, your spirit man came alive. But that's when the real battle begins to take place. We want to talk about spiritual warfare. Let me tell you where most spiritual warfare takes place at. Right here. Right here. Because all of a sudden now you have the spirit man that's come alive. And guess what? The soul that has been boss all the way up until that point does not like being dethroned. And an unhealthy, and I emphasize unhealthy soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions, wants to overthrow the spirit and return as king of our life, and it happens every day. Every day. That's why we have to die to self every day. What's he talking about? You got to die to that fallen nature, that unhealthy soul. Now, here's the beautiful thing. If you will get in the Word, and if you will sit in His presence, it will retrain your soul so that the battle between the soul and the spirit is not so intense. This is such good preaching. So instead of always being tied up in knots, bring your soul into the Word of God. Bring your soul into the presence of Holy Spirit and let it retrain it so that it becomes no longer an unhealthy soul, but it becomes a healthy soul that loves the things of God, that loves the presence of God. But it has to be trained. It has to be renewed. And it has to be done on a daily basis. See, he goes on to say in that same verse, verse 17, he says, so then the two are incompatible. Meaning the unhealthy soul and the spirit are incompatible. And conflicting forces within you, and he defines who they are. They are the self-life of the flesh, the unhealthy soul, and the new creation of the Spirit. This is the conflict that you have. And then he emphasizes how to take care of it. He comes back to what I started out with, and he says this. So when you yield, watch this, when you yield to the life of the Spirit, you will no longer be living under the law, but soar above it. As long as you are focusing on the law, the things you're supposed to do and not do, and you're trying to live by your efforts, I'm telling you, you are going to be forever frustrated because you cannot do it. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. See, he said, but when you yield to the life of the Spirit, you will no longer be under the law. See, the Spirit, and I believe it, the Spirit could also be defined as agape love, because he's about to talk about the fruit of the Spirit as love, okay? And God is love, therefore his Spirit is love. So the Spirit or love actually compels us and empowers us not to just fulfill the law, but actually to live far above the law. When I deeply love somebody, I don't do what is just required of me. I want to go above and beyond to demonstrate my love to them, right? And it's the same thing in our walk with Jesus. John says it this way, my commandments, speaking for God, God says this, my commandments are not grievous. They're not hard. Because if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's easy to please somebody that you truly love and adore. But it's hard, oh Lord have mercy, to please somebody that you just can't stand who they are. Right? The key is to walk in the spirit of love. Is this not what Jesus said when the expert came to him and was testing him and he said, teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? And Jesus said, it's easy to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second one is like that. Love your neighbor as yourself. And all the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. He makes it very clear. But here's our issue. And I'm just speaking from personal examination through the years. Too often, as Christians, we try to conquer our flesh, our unhealthy soul, with soulish efforts. We go, I shouldn't be doing this. This is not what Christians do. That God is not pleased with this. God's word doesn't say, oh, I just got to try harder. I got to work harder. I got to do it harder. And all it does is make us more frustrated, gets us more defeated in spirit, feels more ashamed than ever before. Why? Because we're trying to crucify the soul with our soul. It's not going to work. It will never work. You will never will yourself to become like Jesus. You'll never make, I don't care how disciplined you are. I don't care how determined you are. I don't care how strong of a will you have. You will never, ever be able to accomplish it in yourself. And yet that's what we do. Only Holy Spirit can conquer an unhealthy soul. Only Holy Spirit. So what we've got to do is we've got to be more self-aware of those moments when we feel an unhealthy, ungodly emotion, mindset dwelling up within us. And we've got to stop. And the sooner you learn how to stop it, the easier it is to kill it. You got to stop and refocus on Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, there's something here inside me. I need you to deal with this. I yield to you. I yield to you right now, and I'm asking you to help me with this issue. This is what Paul was trying to teach the church in Rome when he said this, for if you live according to the sinful nature, that unhealthy soul, you will die. There's a lot of Christians that love Jesus with all of their heart, but they started giving in to their unhealthy soul. And you know what happened? Their relationship with Christ died. Their spirit went dead again. He said, but if by the Spirit, see this? By the Spirit, you put to death. In other words, he's not going to do it for you. You've got to yield to him and let him deal with it. If you will, by the Spirit, you can allow him to put to death the misdeeds of the body. Again, this is not the physical thing. This is an unhealthy soul. You will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Amen. Worship team, come quickly. I'm going to finish here. We've got to learn to stop and say, Holy Spirit, I yield to you right now. I yield this unhealthy mindset. I yield this unhealthy feeling. I yield to you. And I ask, Lord, would you help me with this? And can I tell you one of the greatest things to learn to do, and I want to do a whole series on this, and that's to learn how to forgive. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, the Lord showed me something. I've never seen this before. We're in a day and age, everybody wants justice, but nobody wants forgiveness. And you cannot have justice without forgiveness. Because to cry for justice before you have forgiven is not justice. It's actually revenge. Let me say it again. If Mark offended me, and I, without forgiving him, say, God, defend me. Justice, justice, justice. I'm not asking for justice. I'm asking for vengeance. And vengeance belongs to the Lord. So that I can't even ask for justice until I have completely forgiven that person. Led by the Spirit. Can I remind us in closing? Laws are designed to control the behavior of those who are not governed by the Spirit. We don't need more laws. We need Spirit. That's Bible, by the way. Paul told his son Timothy, we also know that the law is made not for the righteous. The law is not made for the righteous. Why? Because we walk in love, and love fulfills the law. So we don't need the law. The law is made for the unrighteous, for those who refuse to submit to the Spirit. But for the lawbreaker, for the rebels, the ungodly, the sinful, the unholy, the irreligious, and he goes on and on and on. So, church, I'm inviting us, slow down. Matter of fact, why don't you just close your eyes just for a moment? Father, help us to pull back. Church, here's what I know about myself. When I have way too many things on my plate and too many things in my mind, that's when I make mistakes. That's when I get anxious. That's when I get angry. That's when I become judgmental. But when I intentionally pull back and am fully present at that moment, I can allow Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me. And I can bring hope and life everywhere I go. Dads, moms, some of you, before you come home at the end of the day, you need to turn off the radio. You need to calm yourself down. You need detox from all the anxiety that work brought upon you. And you need to bring the Spirit of peace that subdues. We're going to talk about that. Peace subdues. It conquers into your home, so that your children could enjoy a peaceful life full of joy, full of love, home.
Thank you for listening to the Rochester Christian Church podcast. For service times and giving options, visit us online at rcc4me.com.